Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, November 29th, 2015. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it. It'll make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. There's only 28 reviews on iTunes, and I think there's only 2 on Stitcher. Let's get those up. I know you listen. I know you're listening to this thing, and I know that I'm not throwing this out into an abyss, and just, hey, why don't you do that for me, people? I almost said feeble, and then I probably could have just ignored it, and then you probably wouldn't have noticed, or maybe you would have. I don't know. What else can you do with this show? You can email it. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind, and more importantly, your heart, and I'll respond to you, and I'll read it on the air and all that good stuff. You can also like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, into your earbuds, into your car stereo, or your JBL dock device, your Beats by Dre's, Chris Lambert on Twitter at Chris Lambert. That's LAMBERTH. Chris, regular spelling. All right. So this is episode 146 of the show. You can probably tell I'm congested and I'm fighting through this. And I said, you know, should I do a podcast and be really nasally, or should I just not do one? And you wonder where the episode went, or did I not upload it, or whatever. I'm gonna give you one. It might be short, but I wanted to talk to you guys this week. Right now, it's like 4:30 on Sunday. I've got Red Zone going, and I don't know how long I'm gonna do this cable thing. It's going to be hard. I've talked to some people. I was talking to Tim Miller of the Three Guys on Podcast. I was back home in Maryland, in the Maryland, D.C. area. And I recorded some episodes with the Three Guys on. Shout out to Randolph, Andy, and Tim. Did some episodes. They were really fun. Had a great time. And I go into Tim's apartment. We do it at his place. And he's like, yeah, I don't have cable anymore. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you doing? He's saying it's just so expensive. He's going to just go for another option. And that's something that prompted me to ask people on Facebook what they're doing. And then the funny thing about it, what he said, like, as soon as he canceled his Xfinity, which I believe he had, they cut all that shit off with the quickness. And I just don't know. Like, I've had cable so long, and it's just gotten so expensive. This Fios is insane. Even when you have the bundle, like, I just paid them $400 last week, and now they're asking for more money. Like, it's insane. And my contract's up for renewal in January, so I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be hard. Like, I mean, because I do... Like, I would consider myself to be a casual, I'm a football fan. I'm a fan of football and basketball and more casual college football fan, but I like to know what's going on. I like to be able to watch the shows, the games that I want when I want to watch them, especially the local games. And then having Red Zone for 2 years has been amazing. You know, like it's great. So I'm just trying to debate on what I can do to really to not have to pay so much fucking money. because it's ridiculous. Some people do Apple TV. Some people are doing like the Hulu. They're doing Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime. And then they've got the Roku, the Sling Box. Someone told me about the girl that I used to be in love with in college. She messaged me. She said, she commented on my post and she said something about Tableau. So I don't know, man. That gives you the local channels, and I guess you can get a box and you can DVR stuff. I don't know. I'm really conflicted. I'm gonna talk to FiOS and Verizon/FiOS and see how low can they go. But man, it's ridiculous, and I don't want to miss. I feel like I could do without HBO. Feel like I could do without HBO and all the premium channels until then some kind of hot show comes on, or like The Leftovers. I'm not even watching that. I'm not watching The Leftovers. It's a good, I know it's good this season, but I'm just not, there's so many shows like The Affair. I stopped watching that. It's a good show, but I just, Sunday is front loaded. Fargo is the only show that I'm really watching. I'm actually watching it the night of. And Fargo's terrific this season. I don't, this on FX, it's so good. Bokeem Woodbine, man, has just been killing it. Hashtag black actors. Like this dude playing Mike Milligan in 1979. It takes place in Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota. Anyway, he's one of the big roles in there, and he's usually known for being this guy that's very cantankerous. He's got a short fuse, and he's in urban cinema, he's always just been the crazy guy, like in Caught Up, Jason's Lyric. He was the shitty, no good brother. I don't know. He's just been, a lot of people shit on him. And even Bomani Jones. I think I remember one time tweeting something about Bokeem because I was happy that he was in some movie. I think it was I was one of those white people, futuristic pilgrim sharecropper movies. And he just turned up at the end. And I was like, oh, shit, Bokeem Woodbine sighting. And I may have took a picture of it. And Bo was like, said something and was hating on him. And a lot of people do that. I'm not singling him out. But I waited for about five or six weeks to really say something that Bokeem is killing. I might have let out a couple tweets like Bokeem's doing his thing. And then I waited a couple more weeks. It's a 10 episode. I don't know if they're calling it a mini series or just a series now about how they consider it, or how they want it to be considered for award season. But I mean, he's been killing it. And so maybe 2 weeks ago, I hit Bo up. I was like, yo, man, like Bokeem's really killing it. And he was like, yeah, but I'm not really. He's like, I'm not going to watch it. And he's not a real TV guy anyway, and I was like, I'm just letting you know, man, he's doing this thing, he's evolving. And then he said, we don't believe you, you need more people. So I retweeted, and a couple people said, oh, he's been killing it. And a handful of people have been like tweeting that he's been doing his thing. But after this past episode, Young, like he went off. That simmer came to a boil, and it was a controlled, it was just harnessed so tightly. He boiled, but he really didn't. Like, he just kind of exploded and then went back to business. And it was like, oh, shit. And I'm not really, I put the shit on my Instagram, the scene that he got busy in. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Because they called him, because it was like, I was texting the homie Ray Sani, is also a fan of the show. of Fargo from the It's About Us podcast, and she's a friend of the podcast and whatnot. And me, she's like the only person that I know that directly watches. The homie JL Covan watches, but with Ray, like me and her text back and forth, and she put me on to some really good Fargo podcast that now I listen to. And so I was like, yo, I had like after when that episode happened, I was just kind of went off on a little tear on Twitter, started like, you know, shooting out these tweets talking about, oh my God, Bokeem. Like, he's at the point where now I was thinking at first, like, okay, all right, we going to give him, you know, all right, he at least going to get a BET Image Award or a BET Award or Image Award. But now, like, after what happened last week in episode 7, like, we gotta talk Golden Globes, or we gotta talk Emmys, because for Best Supporting Actor, like, that cast is really stacked. But he's got a shot. He's really got a shot to really make some noise in TV. This is just a real golden age of TV. But Bokeem, man, I'm so happy for him, because it's like a dude as a kid, you know, you see these black actors come up, and now they're in their 40s and they're like older and people doing their thing. And he's just kind of gotten a bad rap for being in like shitty movies or just like straight to video movies where, you know, the material's not good. And he came up, man, and he's evolved, and he's doing his thing. So I'm really happy. And anytime you're in a scene in a show where a white girl sniffs cocaine off your shoulder, you're winning. And it's just without question, you're winning right now. And she sniffed cocaine off of him twice. Like, so, you know, at least BET Award for that right there. And he's a winner in my heart, in my book. Yeah. So speaking of TV shows, like, if you're not watching it, you should definitely check out Fargo. If you don't have to watch the first season, but to get the tone, it's loosely connected, because there's a younger version of a character in the first season. So I highly recommend it. My dad watches it. Who do I know? So my dad, JL, and Ray. I don't know anybody else. I think Andy Haynes, comedian Andy Haynes out in L.A. watches that shit too. So there's a handful of people in my circle that I know watch it, but it's a terrific show, and people are making podcasts about it. So it's obviously a popular show. So I think you'll like it. And not just for Bokeem, but I like to highlight, it's a show that I already watch, but I like to highlight the black actors that are doing their thing in mainstream high profile shows. So it makes me proud, and I'm all in for it. I'm excited for these next three episodes. It's just like the show has this really ominous vibe. Like, you're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop on with Mike Milligan, Bokeem's character, and then just really for the whole show. There's just so much great shit going on, and you know, Kirsten Dunst is in it. She's doing her thing. She's getting busy. You know, so yeah, man. Speaking of TV, I just finished watching Daredevil on Netflix, and it's a good show. It's solid. I like it. And I'm not a big superhero guy, and I'm not saying that to sound like I'm above it all or anything like that. If it's a good story, it's a good story. And I'll say this before. I may have said it when I watched a handful of the episodes earlier this year. A lot of people buried the lead with Rosario Dawson. She's in it, but she's not in it that much, but she's in it enough times to be like, yo, Rosario Dawson is in this fucking show. And all the nerds didn't really mention anything about that. So I had to get on them. I know earlier this year I did, but she's great. She's great. It really didn't hit its stride for me until episode I think like episode 7 and 8 when like one of Daredevil's mentors comes back into town, and then the next episode after that when isn't that kind of redundant? The next episode after that, but in the episode after, you get a little bit of Kingpin's back. You get Kingpin's backstory, and that was really good. And you kind of get, you kind of have an understanding of why they are the way they are. So yeah, just things started to pick up, and the ending, it ended well. So I'm pretty sure they're doing a season 2. So I like Daredevil. I'm going to get into Jessica Jones maybe tonight, 'cause I'm really, really not that, into football this week, 'cause Cam Newton and the Panthers, handily beat the Dallas Cowboys. And so I'm good. I'm not stressed out. Sorry that Jameis lost, Teddy Bridgewater, and the Vikings won. Tyrod Taylor, I think he lost, but I mean, Cam is the guy. Cam is the guy right now. I'm hoping that they pull it off. I'm hoping that they can win the Super Bowl, man. I know they're going to try to give the MVP to Tom Brady, but I mean, this season that he's having is pretty great with the personnel that he has. They're just making the best of it, and they're winning. If they win the Super Bowl, man, like I know people, like people are putting on Twitter, when they lose, they're going to have the sad Michael Jordan meme face with the sad Michael Jordan tear and that dabbing, because they did the same shit to Kirk Cousins. And I know they're going to be doing that shit, but I'm hoping, I like to think that he'll pull it off. I'm going to imagine, like in A Time to Kill, now picture that the Super Bowl winner is a black quarterback. And that's, and it's Cam Newton. So that's kind of where I'm at with it right now, man. And even if they lose a game, you know, a lot of people say that might be good for him, and maybe it will. I mean, they've struggled to win some of these games that they've won already. They're 11-0 now. But I don't know, man. I'm if he wins the Super Bowl, I think I might cry. I think I might just get really emotional and not know what to do with myself. I think I would just really be, get really emotional, because this is the guy that they don't like. The media does not like him. They don't like this guy smiling. They don't like him, you know, enjoying the game. And all it is just, he reminds me of Brett Favre. He reminds me of Brett Favre, just having fun. Like they mic'd him up, not this past week, but the week before. Technically, Cam won twice this week, and this past week rather, because they played on Sunday, then they played Thursday. They just don't like, they mic, what's the show? Inside the NFL, they mic'd him up and they showed him hanging out with the kids before the game. And it was obviously this kid that had cancer, and the cancer kid dabbed for him. It was really sweet. And, you know, he's giving footballs to these kids. After that, he fed like 900 kids for Thanksgiving. Like, he's doing all this great shit. And he seems like a sweet, genuine guy. Somebody tried to say, who was it? Somebody said over the weekend that, oh, I don't know if that was real or if he's been fake. I think he's like that, man. I think that's just who he is. And it doesn't take any shit from anybody either. I mean, this was rivalry week in college football, and he was obviously off. And so he was down in Alabama. And he was Auburn, and they were playing Alabama. So he's walking, and fans were saying, you know, giving him props or whatever. And somebody said something about, shouted him at him about the pay-for-play scandal that he was allegedly involved in. And somebody yelled out to him, and he was like, I'll slap the shit out you. I'll slap the shit. So he's not to be fucked with. I mean, the guy's like, you know, and then he goes to the day after, what is it, Friday after Thanksgiving, after they beat the Cowboys, he's at courtside at the Hornets game. They're playing the Cavs. And, you know, he's like, it's a really great picture of him on Instagram, like just him and LeBron together, like exchanging greetings and good tidings together. And that's a really good picture. And Cam's pretty much as big as LeBron James. And maybe LeBron's got a couple inches on him, but they're the fucking, they're the same size. And, it's, and you know, he's just, he's living the life of Riley Curry. Like he's doing it, man. So I'm just hoping that he pulls it off. I'm hashtag black quarterbacks. Yeah. So that's exciting. And I think I may just start Jessica Jones, like maybe after I finish this, maybe, while I'm uploading, just to see what you nerds are so hyped about. You know, you nerds are getting me excited about Jessica Jones. I don't know anything about it. I know there's a black love interest from, like, this guy, Luke Cage. You know, so I'm excited. Excited to see what's going on with that. So comedy was fun this week. I got to do a couple shows. The night before Thanksgiving, I was at Levity Live. I emceed at Levity for Mike Kaplan and Anna Dresden, and it was cool. I was on a pretty good tear. Like I got laughs. Like it's one of those sets where you just kind of you did your job. You opened up the show. I opened up the show, told some jokes, made people laugh. They were smilers. And they laughed, and it was clear that they had a good time. But just the previous shows that I had done as an MC, it was, the crowds were really hot, and I, you know, did my job. I wouldn't say exponentially, but I just, it was more fun. But they made me work a little bit Wednesday night, and Mike did his thing. Mike Kaplan is just like, first of all, he's a wordsmith, and then he's kind of like, he's really, really nice, really sweet guy, and he's kind of like a jazz musician, just the way he riffs. He's got his bits, but he'll riff on the words, and it's just fucking, he's good, man. He's just like he's a technician, you know, he's like one of those, he's a fucking technician, he's just a really good comic, and, Anna Dresden was there. She was funny. She was doing her thing. And then, yeah, I got up, got some gas on Thursday, went down to Maryland, to see my parents, my mom, dad, and uncle, and, had Thanksgiving dinner. We fried a turkey. My mom and dad, I guess my dad helped was cutting some of the vegetables and all that stuff up, but we fried the turkey, and my dad and I did that, and my mom pretty much did everything else, and it was good, really good food. It was great. It was just a good chill time, and thankfully the Panthers won, so that was good. How many times can I mention the Panthers? I guess I think I'm all in for the Panthers now. I know the homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips finally, I don't know, the dude lives in Charlotte, but I get why. He was an Eagles fan for a long time, and I myself was until they got rid of Donovan McNabb. But I just know for my money, even when I was playing Madden, when I was heavily into Madden, we may talk about Madden a little bit after this. The Panthers were my team, and the last time I went, did a season, I won the chip with the Panthers. This might have been maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And he changed his allegiance from the Eagles to the Panthers. I mean, the guy lives in Charlotte, and so I was pretty much like, about time, Rod. And I get it. I mean, I'm all in with these guys, and there was so much stress lifted off my shoulders from that win that now, football. I went to sleep in between during the 1 o'clock games, and now I'm up, and now, I got the, red zones going and all that, but I kind of really don't care. But my dad, I called my dad. He's like, yeah, okay. You try to talk to him, but he's watching the game, and he actually thinks that if he watches, cause he hates the Redskins, it's a love hate thing, but it's more of a hate thing, hate thing with the Redskins or racial slurs now. So he was rooting against them even more vehemently since the RG3 debacle. And he really thinks that if he watches the game, he could get the Giants or any other opposing team through the game. Like, he's helping them because he's watching. So I talked to him for a little bit, and I just kind of went to sleep. And I'm struggling with this cold. I haven't had a cold in a long time. I hope this doesn't sound too fucked up. What are we, 26 minutes in? I think I can fight through for a few more things that I want to talk about. So then Friday I pretty much had cabin fever. And so I had a show at the Draft House in the green room. And I got to see the homies, some friends and stuff, and talk shop, and just hang out, man. And it was fun. It was always good to go home and see your fellow comedian compatriots. And I closed that show out. It was fine. I was working on some new bits, and I was working on a thing that I did okay. Like, I just did okay. I wouldn't say that it was spectacular, but I was just all right. But I was doing some things on stage that I hadn't done before, or that I would have been maybe afraid to do, maybe a few months ago, at least 2 years ago, I probably would have been afraid to do, but I just think I just dug myself into a hole that I eventually got myself out of. But sometimes that crowd can be kind of, DC crowds are really super smart, but sometimes they don't want to hear what you got. If it's dark, they really don't want to hear that shit. But for the most part, most of my experiences in DC have been pretty dope. But I was just like, then I was trying this other new bit. I'm just doing this new bit. And I know that it's almost like a really small segment of the two times that I've done it, of the few times that I've done it on stage, like the past maybe two or three times, there's always been a good hand, like a handful of people that are like really on board, and they make that the vocal affirmations, like, uh-huh, yep. And then, like, I know that there's something there, but I gotta try to get everybody on board. Or not necessarily you have to agree with what I'm saying, but just there has to be an understanding. And I know I'm in the right direction. Like, it's like the beginning's pretty good, the middle needs work, and then the end kinda is pretty decent. So it's just a matter of whittling away. And to make it all even out, so it's a part of the process, guys. So I ain't really take no L or anything. And then I had pizza. You got it. Like, they always feed you when you do the final draft show, and Arlington Draft House, some of the best pizza in the game that I've had, like, just really good bar food, bar pizza, I had some chicken. They had chicken tenders, mozzarella sticks, and wings. And the chicken tenders were really good. And I was like, did they change the recipe? Did they change the chicken tenders out this motherfucker? Like, they were just really good. They were like, no, Chris, they didn't change. Oh, somebody just snagged a pick. Is he taking it back? Seattle just snagged it, and this guy just falls. Seattle just got a pick, almost took it back, but he lost his balance. And it was just like really good. They were like, they're like, no, Chris, it's been the same. But I remember one time they changed the pizza recipe. I always thought it was good, but it's dope. That's my favorite thing I get when I go there. Every time I do a weekend there, I have to get the pizza. Yeah, so had a fun time there and, you know, I went to Rite Aid and got my mom some stuff that she wanted. Rite Aid's fucking expensive, dude. Drugstores really are really expensive. And I guess they're like convenience stores with their prices. I just don't get why anybody out of convenience, like if you don't go to Target or you don't go to Walmart, unless you're picking up a prescription and he's like, oh, I got to get toilet paper or I got to get these couple things. But damn, you know, so it goes. So did that. And, yeah, man, Saturday did the Three Guys On joint and came back here Saturday night. And we're doing it. We're back with another week. I guess I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I took a couple notes. I will talk about it, and then I'm going to get the hell out of here. Movies. I saw Creed. I saw it on Tuesday because I was excited to see this movie. And if you don't know, I mean, I'll read you the blurb about it on the Wikipedia portion summary thingy. Okay, here we go. Adonis Johnson, Michael B. Jordan, never knew his famous father, boxing champion Apollo Creed, who died before Adonis was born. However, boxing is in his blood, so he seeks out Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, and asks the retired champ to be his trainer. Rocky sees much of Apollo in Adonis and agrees to mentor him, even as he battles an opponent deadlier than any in the ring. With Rocky's help, Adonis soon gets a title shot. But whether he has a true heart of a fighter remains to be seen. So I was really excited about this because, you know, Michael B. Jordan is one of my favorite actors, favorite young up and coming. Like he's a star now. I predicted this when, yeah, you know, Friday Night Lights, he killed it. The Wire, he was great. Chronicle was there. There were star moments where I was like, looking at this guy, he's a fucking star. And if you go, like, there's an episode that JL and I did about the movie, and I mentioned this before, the movie draft or actor draft, whatever we called that shit. If you look, you can check out JL's episodes on Podomatic of The Righteous Prick. I was also a guest on his podcast this past week. We talked for a couple hours. We had a good time talking about movies and girls on Instagram and all that stuff. And we did, like, I guess, best movies of the year, Oscar preview type thing we always do. And we had a good time doing that. So Creed, you know, I'm not going to consider myself or even try to pretend that I'm a big Rocky fan, but it's just a part of the cultural zeitgeist where, like, I've seen all the movies. I don't really remember them as well as some other people, because I was actually on the way home listening to Bill Simmons's new podcast, and he had Michael B. Jordan on, talk to him for about an hour, and he's a big fan. But Simmons is a big Rocky fan, and he's bringing up all this stuff, and I'm not that good with all that stuff, but I remember liking it. I remember, like, oh, okay, Rocky, you know, it's cool story. The main thing I remember is Eddie Murphy Raw, when Eddie Murphy talked about it. He did a bit about how white guys go to see Rocky and they think they can beat anybody up and they think they want to, like, fucking fight a black dude. They're like, all right, Rocko, like they're like real. Like they're real, like he was a real person. It's like, this guy's an actor. He's an actor. And so, man, I just really fucking loved it. I called it a reverse, the one of the best reverse magical Negro movies I've seen. And when I say that, I mean that you have an old sage-like white man helping a young black guy fulfill his dream. And it was really good. Like, Michael B. Jordan, he's a fucking star. He got cut up for the movie. Just already a really good actor. And the boxing, I was a real big boxing fan when I was a kid. And I think after Pernell Whitaker lost, I think Chavez beat him or somebody, whatever one of his last few fights were, I kind of tapped out. And then was like in Roy Jones for a bit, and then he lost it. And it was just kind of like, oh, like, all right, you're seeing these guys just kind of decline, you know? And so it was kind of sad. And actually, listening to Michael B. Jordan on the show, he modeled himself after Pernell Whitaker and another guy that I don't remember off the top right now. But it was really good. Like, he plays this guy who's obviously without getting really into it, he's been in the system, like being a foster kid. And then Felicia Rashad plays his mom, who she plays his, I guess, a foster mom who was Apollo Creed's real wife. And, basically Adonis was a love child of Apollo Creed that he didn't know he had or some shit. And Felicia Rashad takes him in, and obviously she's rich, and he's this guy, you know, you see him in the beginning and he's just like fighting motherfuckers in Mexico and just knocking motherfuckers out. And then he goes to his office job, and then he decides like he wants to get training. And he goes to Philly and seek training out of Rocky, meets this girl played by Tessa Thompson, who's also really good. Pretty much she's good in everything. And she's got some shit going on with her. You know, she's like not just like a chick that's like around like, hey, you know, she's actually got a career that she's pursuing. And it's good, and it's a nice, really cute black love scene where I'm not trying to give it away. Maybe if I talk to somebody about it on a podcast or something, we'll get into it. But just, nah, fuck it. Black love. It might even be in some of the trailers. It's just a scene where he's chilling with this girl and he's like fixing her hair. And like, it's really dope to see that, man. And I was thinking about that, like black love in movies, you don't really see it that much because you don't really see that many on screen and shit. But low key, I was watching this movie called Paper Towns. And you might ask, why, Chris, why the fuck were you watching Paper Towns? Because for the most part, I like to see everything. I rented Vacation out of Redbox in American Ultra. They are what you think they would be, and the stakes aren't high when you spend $4 renting both of those movies out of Redbox. The thing is, you just don't want to keep them past that one day. You want to turn them in the next day, so you don't get they don't charge your credit card. And they were fine. They were like, it was just like, all right. There was some funny parts. It was like, okay, that's funny. That's cool. Blase, blah, you know, whatever. Where the fuck was I going? So I rented Paper Towns because I wanted to see what people were talking about. And it's definitely one of those, like, white boy self-absorbed movies where the white guy, what young white boy realizes, oh, I got more life to live and I got to get my shit together, even though I still have so much time and so much I don't want to be a dick, but like so much privilege and time. But that's a young thing, and then it's more of a young person thing than it is a white thing. But it's just like this self-absorbed kid that thinks the world revolves around him. A better movie is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl when it comes to the self-absorbed white kid and all of that, but which was one of my favorite movies of the year. I actually got it on Blu-ray. It was on sale at Best Buy, and I traded in a couple games, and it didn't really give me shit for them, but they gave me more than GameStop would have given me. So if you're trading in video games, if you're a gamer and you're trading in some games, definitely go to Best Buy before you go to GameStop. That would be an alternative, I would say. But there's a scene, and there's just a subplot of one of the characters in that movie who's one of his black friends. He's dating this girl, and she's black. And his thing is he won't invite his girlfriend over to his house because he's embarrassed that his parents collect black Santa Claus collectibles, like some little black Santa Claus figurines. And it's pretty funny. It's like a quirky thing. You know, like he'll be in a scene like on the phone and there'll be all these like Santa Claus figurines all around his house. And he's got a girlfriend. He's got a black girlfriend, and they show them together, and it's really cool to see. It's just that that movie's worth seeing. Like if you into that shit, like I'm into it. If you just into seeing that shit, it's worth seeing for that. And the movie's it's all right. You know, it ain't. You know, it's one of them. It's not. It's from the same. I think it's the same dude that wrote The Fault in Our Stars and not the guy that wrote the book. That's the same dude that wrote The Fault in Our Stars. They're both The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns. I would say they're written by the same dude, and they made them in the movies or whatever. And, Fault in Our Stars is a much better movie. It dragged towards the end, but it's definitely a much better movie than Paper Towns. So it was a really sweet black love scene, and I dug it. I was thinking about that when I saw, you know, when I saw that, I saw Creed, and I saw people on Twitter talking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, and I think I tweeted yesterday that. Or the day before that, Creed and The Fault and Creed and Paper Towns had really two good, really a couple of good black love moments, and you don't really see that on screen. More people need to see it, you know. So I would low key recommend Paper Towns just to see young black love. You know what I'm saying? So Creed, man, it. This fucking movie's got like, it's got a 90, is it 93%? 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 4 out of 4 on Roger and Ebert, 81% Metacritic. It's a really good, first of all, on the surface, it's a really good sports movie. I was jarred by the ending a little bit because I forgot. With its base, you know, I forgot the source material, so I wasn't really expecting that. Which meant that I was really invested in the characters, invested in the story. I was on the edge of my seat watching these fight scenes. Some of the most realistic and brutal fight scenes that I've seen on film. And Michael B. Jordan really got hit. He was talking about it on Bill Simmons and just saying, like, he got rocked. Sylvester Stallone was like, I got hit a few times, so, you know, you got to do it. That's how you got to be. And they probably going to make a sequel to the shit. It's got universal appeal. And this dude, Ryan Coogler, the director, man, he did Fruitvale Station. And this guy's 2 for 2. He's 2 for 2, and I could definitely see him doing a Spike Denzel with Michael B. Jordan, a Leo Scorsese thing with, he's definitely got somebody to work with, and I hope I see more from these dudes doing stuff together. And Creed, highly recommend it. Just a really good movie. Some people are saying Oscar. it could be considered for an Oscar, you know, with Sly Stallone. I don't know. Best Supporting Actor. Michael B. Jordan. He's really good. We'll have to see what else. I mean, I think just looking at the fucking trailers for Revenant, like the full 2.5-3 minute trailer of that shit, just like, Jesus Christ. They gotta get this dude a trophy, man. And I've had this conversation with the homie JL Covan before, and it just seems like, you know, they're doing the Paul Newman thing. We may have talked about it on that episode of Righteous Prick, but how he's too good looking, or they might do the Paul Newman thing and wait till he's old. But yo, this shit is getting to be ridiculous. It's like undeniable. And I'm rooting hard for this white dude. Like, if I see him get it, I'll be like, yeah, it's about fucking time. You know, that's like 3 or 4 performances that he could have gotten. He could have won for. And he didn't get nominated, I don't think, for Django, where he killed that shit. Still think best villain this side of Heath Ledger's Joker, Candy, from Django. I want to say this, Madden. They had a EA had a demo for Madden on for a couple of days, and I downloaded the demo and played it. It's a good looking game, but it's just something that's missing. It just seems like it's too sterile. It doesn't have what 2K has for basketball. And when they did that 2K game and they underpriced the game, they made it a really good price point. It was $20 and it was better than Madden like that. You may have been like 8 to 10 years ago. I remember it because I was working at Best Buy. So it was around that time. It had to be like between 03, I want to say 03 and 06. And it was just a good game. It was just something that it had that Madden does not have. And if they just, I don't know, if the NFL opened up and it was just more competition. I mean, they did it with NBA Live. I don't know why they can't do it with Madden. God, it would be so good if they're doing the things that they do with 2K. It's just such a good looking game, 2K, with like the basketball. And I need to sit down with that and actually play it more. But I don't know. I just, my self-esteem just gets hurt when I get the shit beat out of me. And watching these young guys on YouTube do these moves, it just hurts. Like all those moves are like, those dribbling combos are like Street Fighter combos. And I was never good at Street Fighter. So it goes. You can't be good at everything, but I need to actually play that game. So I did really enjoy Creed. Was there anything else that I wanted to talk about? I think that's it. That's it. I know it was a short one, but I wanted to deliver something to you this week. I wanted to talk to you. So maybe, you know, you got through what you needed to get through while you were listening to this. I hope that I was entertaining to a certain degree. I hope my voice was pleasant enough, and I hope to be at full strength next week, and I'll talk to you next time, guys. Take it easy, everybody.